In early June, a very unexpected and traumatic event happened in your home. It was the middle of the night. Tell us what happened that morning.
I was actually asleep. I was asleep and woken up to what sounded like what I assumed to be fireworks. Unbeknownst to me, it was actually gunfire. And so my husband woke up as well. Well, he actually wasn't even asleep yet. He was trying to go to sleep post-surgery. And he was like, no, I think it's gunfire. And so we took off down the hallway and more of it occurred. And I opened the front door to witness the vehicle driving off. And the baby had started screaming as I opened the front door. And I was like, great, it woke her up. And he hollered, no, she's bleeding. And I said, from where? And he was like, her head. And at that point, my heart just stopped because I'm like, what just happened? How did that happen? And that is when we realized a bullet had come through her wall. But we didn't even assess the entire scene before we just yanked her up and dialed 911. Do you have any other input that night?
You know, picking her up and realizing that she had been shot was a complete shock, of course. And then, you know, to see that she was bleeding from her head as I picked her up was another one. But I have to say, at that point, I was moved to, hey, let's go outside. Let's get out of this room. Let's go outside. And there was a almost eerie peace that fell over me. And so I got her outside on the porch, and she quieted down. She was calm for a good bit until EMS arrived and started intervening and doing what they do best and taking care of her.
And I understand that this was a very, very close call, the way the bullet hit and what it could have done. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The doctor said if it had been any further, it actually, the fracture in the where the bullet hit was on the main blood supply to the middle of the brain. And so she would have bled out before EMS got there. And that if it had been any shorter of, you know, a hit, they would have had to have drilled in to relieve some of the pressure caused by just the concussion itself that occurred that night. And so it literally was the perfect storm. The Lord was so gracious, and he ordered every step months before this happened. I have found his, you know, his guidance to be key in how this turned out for her.
Can you share that with us?
Absolutely. So back in, you know, the beginning of Tennessee tornado season, for the first time, we're natives here, and for the first time ever, I went and bought everyone a bike helmet. I told my husband, I said, I'm compelled to buy everybody a bike helmet. Like, I really think we need one, because when you travel and you're not home, I can't drag a mattress and cover everybody up. And so we got bike helmets for everyone. And London started, you know, throwing a fit and being upset that, you know, she had to wear a helmet. And we made it a rule that every morning as she ate breakfast, she had to wear her helmet. And eventually she got to where she loved it and actually asked for it. Well, come to find out, I wasn't preparing her for tornado season. I was preparing her for this very moment where now she has to wear a helmet, and it's not optional, and it's not part-time, and it's not for 30 minutes at breakfast. Also, our other daughter, who had been using the crib that London was in that night, she had been using it as a toddler bed, and we had graduated her to a big girl bed and stuck that crib in the closet upstairs because we already had one put together in London's room. And out of nowhere, I knew, like, hey, I need to swap this crib out. So my mother-in-law stopped by. She's a school teacher, and she'd stopped by the house one afternoon and was like, is there anything else I can help you with? And I said, can you just watch them? I really want to swap this crib out, and I need to go ahead and get it done. And she looked at me funny, and I said, look, if you've got other things to do, that's fine. I said, I'll figure it out, but I really need to do this. I'm not going to wait. And she was like, no, go ahead, get it done. It won't take you that long. And I'll watch the kids. And so I swapped out the crib, and it was less than a week before And so now I know that like the Holy Spirit was like, no, like you're gonna do this, you're gonna be obedient. And I had been really frustrated with God because I felt like I wasn't hearing from him as much as I used to in, you know, my early years walking with him. And come to find out, you just don't hear him the same. It's different. It's a quieter nudge. It's a, you know, a leading that when you have maturity in relation, you don't even notice happens. I mean, my husband normally is gone 6 days a week. And by the grace of God, he gave himself a hernia taking care of his own kids. And the surgery lined up perfectly with this incident, you know. And he was home, or I would have been by myself with all my kids as this happened. And so the Lord has just been good. He's been so good and so gracious and so protective. And in a moment where, you know, people are always like, well, you know, God let this happen. I said, God didn't let this happen. I said, God allows free will. And we live in a fallen world where evil, you know, walks. I said, but what God did is he offered protection and he ordered every step to protect her that night because nothing was a surprise to God. It was a shock to us to wake up to the gunfire, but the Lord knew long before I did what was going to happen and what needed to be done to protect her.
And that crib provided some very special protection. Tell us about that.
It absolutely did. It was perfectly placed, it was solid wood. My mother, who passed away when she was just a few months old, had bought it for our first daughter as an heirloom piece for the family. And the spindle slowed the bullet to the point that, you know, while it did hit London in the head and she was shot in the head, it didn't, it absorbed enough energy that she didn't die from it. And, you know, the bullet didn't rain and we will. To the one, all this, you know, with time, we will have no lasting effects.
So she is recovering at this point, and the doctors are optimistic everything's going to be fine.
That is what they are saying. They are very optimistic that as the swelling, you know, continues to go away and decrease and, you know, the brain bleed reabsorbs into the body, that, you know, the pressure will be off her brain and will have no lasting effects. The trauma will be, you know, that's what I'm combating right now with her and all my other kids, just the trauma aspect of your safe haven being violated. But as far as physical injuries, she, other than a scar on the top of her head, she should have no lasting effects, according to doctors, once we're done healing.
Now, I realize she is with you now in the vehicle, so talk as you need
She
to.
is.
Does she have a recall or memory of what took place?
You know, it's hard to say when you're that little. You know, she doesn't talk. What we have realized is she does have some like PTSD trauma response symptoms. You know, not sleeping. She used to be our child that we laid her in bed at 7 o'clock at night. She put herself to sleep, and we didn't hear or see from her until, you know, 6, 7 o'clock the next morning. And now we're, you know, not sleeping through the night. She's having bad dreams even when she falls asleep in the car and naps. And she's waking up screaming. That is, you know, the heartbreaking part of what's going on is making sure that, you know, she gets to process the trauma and have no lasting effects there, and that she doesn't grow up and have, you know, anxiety or fear that she doesn't know where it came from. And, you know, I don't believe that God saved her from this for her to carry it around the rest of her life.
And when she does reflect back, hopefully she would reflect on what you told her about that God did providing and protecting her.
Yes. Absolutely. I want the goodness of God and the glory, you know, that he, you know, so deserves to be what she remembers is, you know, she could have been dead, but God said, no, not today.
Now, as a family, you have.
That's what I want for her.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there.
Oh, no, you're totally fine.
Okay. So, as a family, I understand that when your home was being built, you decided to do something very special to honor God, perhaps to claim promises from the Bible. You actually wrote portions of scriptures on various pieces of the structure of your home. Why did you do that? What led you to do it? And were there any particular scriptures that you really wanted to be on your house?
Oh, yes. We wanted our house to be built on the Word of God and to be surrounded by the Word of God, and for it to just be an honor, to him for his goodness and his, promises, and to be reminded. And we sat there and we went through every room, and every room behind every wall is scripture. And so the Lord is always in the background working in our home. And it's a reminder of, every window, every door has scripture, every room has a special scripture. And they were all written for the purpose that that room was to serve at the time the house was built. We got permission during the build to finally do it, and we turned around and we drove 12 hours back before they hung drywall to do it. So it was a very special thing, and my husband and I, prayed over which scriptures would be written and where they would be written, and tried to be very intentional. I think that there's so much in the Word of God that, it, when it's behind the scenes and when it's behind the walls of our house, I feel like just his presence is still there regardless of what kind of day everybody's had. It's a reminder of us that this house was built, for us, but by him, he placed us here. This is our second home in the same neighborhood. So our first home did not have the scripture, and that was something that we really regretted not being part of the building process to do. But yes, I absolutely treasure, and that's why I refuse. My first instinct when all of this happened was to sell the house and move. And I said, why would I allow the enemy to steal my home? And, everything that we built from the ground up to honor God. Like, God did exactly what God promises he'll do. He protected us. And so I absolutely refuse to hand my home over to the enemy.
Concerning the two young men who were responsible for the gunfire, do you have any thoughts about forgiveness or prayers for their future? They're facing a lot, and they did a lot. Or is this still too fresh to talk about?
Oh, absolutely not. So that is one of the biggest conversations I've had with God through this, is I wanted to be angry, and he absolutely would not allow it. Like, and what I was reminded is he loves them just as much as he loves London, just as much as he loves our family. He loves them. And while it's right now London's but God's story, I pray and hope that one day it's their but God story. You always hear these people say, I should have been dead, but God. I should have been in prison, but God. Well, by the grace of God, she's not dead, so they will not spend life in prison. By the grace of God, she's not dead. And this is their opportunity to have their own but God story if they will accept him and realize that their life is just as valuable as London's life, and that God loves them just as much as he loves her.
So this obviously has affected your faith deeply, and you have other children and your husband's with you. How has this affected your relationship with God?
Oh, I have realized, that even on the really bad days, even on, you sing the song of, in every circumstance. And before or, well, my husband didn't take out the trash and I was making dinner, and now, there's, or somebody dings your car door. It was just the bad days weren't so bad after all, comparatively. And it's like, Lord, I'm gonna have to praise you in every circumstance. Like, and that has a different meaning when you're sitting with your child in an ambulance with a gunshot wound to a head. You know, that I realized that day that like now I have to walk out the faith of God brought us through this already. Like he didn't bring us through to, you know, forsake us now. He's not going to forsake us. You know, he's here through the entire process and he knew every detail before I knew anything. And nothing is a surprise to him. And so there's just a different level of awe. I'm like literally, as growing up a believer and being raised in a Christian house, it was, you know, I was relational with God and I talked to God, but I grew up more thinking God was like a principle, right? Like, you better not get caught sinning. You better not do this. You better not do that. And through the years, he's just truly proven that he's a good father. He's not, you know, an authoritative to be scared of if you do wrong, because at the end of the day, he loves us so much. So much more than we can ever even fathom. And so it's just brought, I think it's brought our whole family closer to God.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, you've got a certain operational faith that most folks walk through in a day to day, and you know, there's so much more. There's such a deeper love and walk that you can have. And you know, I reference one of my mentors and really a father figure of mine from my youth. He always used to say to me, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. And it's all small stuff. And I think that really at the end of the day, this experience has not only grown our faith and proven to us that, you know, 100%, even though we already knew it and acknowledged that this is our miracle and that God still moves. He moves mountains every day. And, you know, it's the testimony of what's happened that has made it, you know, so great to us and helped us to rejoice throughout it. But also that the stuff that we sweat in our day-to-day isn't really all that big. We tend to fixate on things that in the greater scheme of life and in our faith that don't have any bearing. And to have the ability to let those go and move forward is even more peaceful now than before because, well, you know, I hate to put it this way, but my daughter was shot in the head, and 36 hours later, one of the top neurologists in the country had to say, look, there's no medical reason for you to be here. And for God to have, well, we had to walk through this for him to have protected her to the point that this was the way that it was going to work out for her in a medical sense is just awesome.
JP, Leslie, you have things that you're facing. There will be medical bills and getting your home repaired. I understand there's a GoFundMe that's been set up and so forth. Are you seeing a response from the people in Spring Hill, Tennessee?
So that's been one of the best things out of this whole situation is to watch the community rally around London and my family. We chose, this makes our second home in this neighborhood and in this area, and we chose it because this is it's family. Leslie's probably put it the best to me a million times. This neighborhood is a lot like Mayberry most days. So yes, it's shocking that this happened here, but at the end of the day, we're here because the community is so strong. The faith in the community has led churches to come to my home to say, we're here, we want to be the hands and feet, and we want to do anything we can to help you. We've had neighbors show up just to say, hey, we want to take the children, your other children, let them play with our kids. Give them a break from this. And we've had people just offer their assistance and their help and continue to check up on us and make sure that everybody's okay and that every need no nothing too small, sorry, is met all the time. And it's just been incredible to watch how God has circled the community together in order to give a response that he would be proud of.
All right. I want to thank you both, Leslie, JP, for sharing your hearts with us, your faith with us, and the few comments we got from London there in the background. That's great, too. How can people pray for you?
Oh, they can continue to pray for healing, physically, mentally, emotionally. You know, JP is out of PTO, and so we had to face the fact that, like, God knew he would be out of PTO, and so God will provide. We can't sit here and not take care of our family and be there for our children in this time of need. And, you know, him go back to work or leave me in this house and hit the road again right now. And so we're just having to trust that, like, God knew this too, and so he will provide. And so just praying for the boys that did this, even I am praying daily that they see the opportunity that God has laid at their feet to change their life. And that, you know, London becomes part of their forever story of, you know, this is how God moved for me. I just keep praying for their hearts to be changed.
I'll add to that as well. Another thing that I want to pray for is the police department. They
Absolutely.
have gone above and beyond for every piece of this, and they continue to do so. And what we have to be as a community, we want answers. We want them now, and our patience wears in some areas for, hey, look, how can we get to the bottom of everything that happened? But we also have to be mindful of the fact that, hey, this is an ongoing investigation still. We still don't know the full story. There's more to come, and other things that may be revealed through their investigation that we need to be prepared for. And at the same point in time, they have made certain. We've had first responders and police officers come back to check on us, and hey, we just want to come in here and see this miracle, make sure that she's okay, because in the moment, how could this have only been this small of an incident? Your daughter was shot, and so it goes to the testimony that, hey, look, this is something bigger than us. And from, like Leslie said, from the financial side or anything else, we'll get taken care of. God will take care of us. We will be blessed. And it's just a matter of walking through this and watching it as it goes.
All right. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so very much. Thank you so much. Like I tell, you know, people when they ask, I'm like, look, even if London had died that night, God was still good. God is good. That never changes. I said, I'm just glad that I'm getting to live out this side of my faith story and this walk versus the other. I'm forever grateful that God gave me this opportunity.
Understood. All right.